Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the Risen Service, the Risen Life Service. We all about this Risen Life. So we're going to open with prayer, and I'm going to give you the Word of God that I was given to give today. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your wonderful, bountiful blessings. We thank you that we're in the house of God with the people of God. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is already here, working and moving and having his way, Lord. We thank you, Father, that the chains would be broken today, that the strongholds would be torn down, because the truth will come forth and your Holy Spirit will administer it, Lord, appropriately. We thank you that the hearts of the people will be open and that the seeds that will be planted, Lord, will grow and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, that we would walk on this earth as a mighty army that we are called to be in this day, in this time. Enemy of ours, you are not welcome here. In the name of Jesus, I bind and rebuke you, command you to leave. Holy Spirit, you have your way this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, you want to go ahead and turn to Mark 6. That's where we're going to pick back up. Last week, I talked about the desert or dessert. We have choices to make. But I want to talk about a condition that was pointed out in the scripture during a stormy time of the disciples. And it is something that plagues many Christians today. And it's a condition that we need to be concerned about, and we need to see and understand. And the Risen Life Service is all about teaching you how to be the child of God you're called to be, and to walk in the power and authority that you were given through Christ Jesus. So Mark 6, 45 through 52, I'm going to read that whole story because I want you to catch what's said. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. While he sent away the people, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. One scripture says is about 4 to 6 miles out. And he alone on the land, and he saw them towing and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the water, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. The title today is The Hardened Heart. The Hardened Heart. When I read that story again the other day, that jumped out at me. Their hearts was hardened. These were men of God who had seen him do so many things, and yet they had a hardened heart. I love the commentary on this, but I can't share it all right now. But if you look at the story, it's in Matthew 14 and I think in John 6. It's an amazing story to read. This is actually the story where Peter walked on the water. But this is Mark's account of it. It is not listed in Luke because Luke was not originally a disciple of Christ. He was not here at this time. So that's why you won't find it in Luke. But it's all good. We got three accounts, three true accounts, and that's good. So what does harden mean? In this version, in the Greek, harden is defined as, are you ready? Blind. Or blind harden. Their heart was hardened because they were blind. And I'll tell you right now, one commentary I read, he said, when you have a heart that has fear and faith, they can't share it. Fear will always lead to blindness, spiritual blindness. When you allow fear to come in and overtake you, you become blind to this, to God and to his help. And that's exactly what had happened here. But I like that it said they considered not the miracle of the loaves. That's part of the blindness. What caused the heart to harden? It was blindness, according to the scripture. What was the miracle of the loaves? Well, we know that. Verse 50 says they considered not the miracle of the loaves. So the miracle of loaves is Mark 6, 35, 40, 44, right above that. And we know the day was well spent. The disciples come unto him. He said, we're in a desert place. Send the people away. The time is far past, Lord. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto him, give you them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worths of bread and give them to eat? He said unto them, how many loaves have you? He said, go and see. And when they knew, they said, we have 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to the heavens and he blessed it and he broke the loaves and he gave them to his disciples to set before them. Notice he didn't do it himself. He gave it to you to do. And the 2 fifths divided he among them all, and they all did eat and were filled, not just ate, but they were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. How could the disciples be blind after seeing such a miracle? Let me gather some facts from that story. They were in a desert place. I've been there. Have you been there? I have. Disciples wanted the people to go away. I know that feeling. I am spent, Lord. I have nothing more to give. But Jesus commanded them to feed the people. He's going to ask you to do the impossible at the most impossible times. Don't be surprised. That's because he knows that he's capable. And so are you through him. They confessed their inability by what they said. We don't have anything. We don't have enough to buy. Do you ever look at yourself and you think, I'm just not enough? I raised a daughter thinking, I am not enough for this child. I do not have enough love to give her. She requires so much of me. I can't feel it. It's never ending. But he took what they had and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it back to them to feed. And everyone ate and was full. And there was 12 baskets left over. There is so much we can learn from this account. It shows no matter where you are and what you have, Jesus can use what you have in your hand if you're willing to give it to him. That's a whole nother service right there. Despite your present conditions, being in a desert place, being in an uncomfortable place, not thinking that you're not enough, and how inadequate you think you are. What you have may be, God can use it. I want you to notice Jesus blessed it and broke it. We must understand when we give Jesus what we have, he will take it and always bless it. It may not seem like much to you, but in the master's hands, in the potter's hands. And here's the other thing. We don't like to be broke. We don't like it. I don't like it. I understand. I want my way and my will. What's up with that? Why do I have to submit to God? Because God has the better plan. I've seen where my decisions got me, and it was all going to be death, let me tell you. And only by the grace of God do I stand here today. Well, we don't want to be broke. We want to bless him, but we don't want to be broke. We don't want to be used. We don't want to give up our time. We don't want to give up our money. We don't give up our resources. We don't want to give up our titles, our jobs. Whatever God is calling you to do, we don't want to do it. It's the flesh. The flesh is never going to be agreeing with God. So you got to choose who you're going to listen to. I have found out God has a better retirement plan than I got. He has a better building plan than I got. He's got it all better. All right, let me go on, or if not, I'll get stuck. It says, notice Jesus gave the blessed and broken bread and the fish back to the disciples to give to the people. Never dismayed when you see the brokenness of what you have. It has been blessed. When God has broken it, it has purpose. Ooh, not a fun part. But once you've been broke, you don't feel like being a blessing, do you? No, I don't. I'm like, good Lord, what did I just go through? God, why? But it has purpose to be used for others. Many times we hold back what we have from God because we do not want to be broken, or simply we do not want to lose what we have. How else are we going to feed thousands? You're called for thousands. Did you know that? Thousands. They said with the women and children, they figure, the theologians say, it was about 10 to 15,000 people that actually were fed. How can you feed thousands if you hold it tight and don't allow him to do what he wants to do with it? Even when they gave what they had, there was an overflow. There is always a multiplying when you sow, when you give God. When you allow the broken to happen, when you allowed his best for your life to come through, he will always multiply it. He has the better retirement plan. He has the better building plan than we can come up with. I'm sure with this miracle, the disciples were in complete awe of Jesus. Could you imagine? I could. I'd be sitting there going, it just keeps coming. He never stops. I've got so much. I've got more than enough. That's the part I like about the broken and the blessed. I've got more than enough. I'm supposed to help feed the others, but I'll still have more than enough for me. We're all so greedy to hang on to what we got, like 2-year-old children. I don't want to give this away, even though mom and dad has something better for me. I don't want to give it up. They had seen him open the blind eyes. They had seen the deaf hear again. They had seen him cast out demons. And now this? Do you think they were still blind to his identity, who he really was, and what he could really do? The Bible states they were. I'm going to tell you, we're no different. We are no different. How do we get in this state? How did they get in that state? Here we see what a hardened heart looks like in the life of a believer. I'm not talking about an unsaved. I'm talking to somebody who confesses, who goes to church most of the time, who sings and prays and worship it, and occasionally reads the Bible, or maybe they read it all the time. It can happen to any of us. I want you to notice a few things about the sea adventure. I call it the sea adventure because we all go on those. And that's how you become seasoned, because you've been through some stuff. So you got a little salt and pepper, got a little garlic, a little paprika. Some of us got a little red pepper. Some of us got a lot of that. But anyways, some of us have been seasoned well. That's what I'm trying to say. And let me just tell you, it will never stop. The next storm, and then the next storm. Sometimes the enemy brings them. Sometimes, and all situations, God's allow them. Sometimes we walk through our own mess that we've made for ourselves. But in all situations, God is allowing this to be. Notice he was on the mountain praying, and he saw them. I'm getting ahead of myself. Notice they were doing as Jesus had directed them to do. He constrained them to get on the boat. That was not a choice. It was a command. Get on the boat. Go to the other side. I'll meet you there. They had a destiny. They had a purpose. It became dark. No surprise. You're doing the will of God. Here comes the darkness. They were in the middle of the sea, and the wind became contrary. You're in the middle of it. You have praised and shouted your way all the way through this great adventure, and all of a sudden, it gets dark. and the wind kicks up. They were toiling. You ever been there? It's like, I can't seem to go anywhere, God. I'm just stuck here. I'm just going to praise you in the hallway, we say. It was the fourth watch. Why does he wait till almost daybreak? It's his timing. It's his will. He has purpose for everything in your life, the good and the bad. The fourth watch was about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is right about sunrise, pun intended. They saw Jesus but didn't know who he was. You know why? Because they didn't expect him there. A lot of times he shows up in our situations and we don't know who he is either. Fear had blinded them. They were focused on the storm, not on the purpose that they had been called for, not on the command that they had been given. They were busy toiling. He walked on the water. They looked up and thought he was a ghost. I think that's hilarious. How many times has God showed up in your situation and you realize he was there all the time? I just was too stupid to see him. I was too blinded by fear. I was too concentrated. I concentrated on the enemy and the situation that was going on instead of looking and dwelling on the good things, the pure things, the things that were praiseworthy, like the miracle that had just happened. He was able to do that. Why can't he fix this? Why he sent me across the... Why won't it happen? He said it would. I'm going to go. We're blinded. They cried out. They were in trouble. They were in rough, agitated, stirred up waters. Have you ever been on the lake or the ocean when that happened? It is not a pretty sight. It is scary. I was in a boat one time. The water was coming in. It was coming in. It was at my feet, at my ankles. I'm standing there with a life jacket on. Shore is like within swimming distance, and I'm having a panic attack. And literally, I could turn around and see the shore. They thought that was hilarious. I have a fear of water, obviously. I did not want that. Water's not supposed to be in this boat. And here I am in this boat with this water. And they looked at me and said, Sonia, you have a life jacket on. I was like, yeah. I forgot all about it. I had help. And they said, the shore is right there. You can swim. Scared to death. Let's look at it in the modern perspective, which we had already kind of talked about. We are doing what Jesus asked us to do. We know what he asks us to do has a purpose, but do we live in it? We live in a dark and a world, right? It's void of light. Who's the light? Jesus is the light. When he was here, he was the light. When he left, he said, you are the light. I have the light. So opposition is normal because we have an enemy. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. If we play it out right, sometimes we don't choose that route, do we? Everything was going great until the contrary happened. It always starts out pretty well, doesn't it? We toil at times because we work hard, and that's normal. It's okay to work. We're called to work. The work never seems to cease at times. We are always on the job just before the sun rises. God's timing is never ours. How often during our storms do we fail to see Jesus? We didn't expect to see him there because fear had blinded us. We're concentrated on the wrong thing. We were distracted by the wind, the rain, the sound, whatever else was in the midst of us. Maybe other people who were fearful. You got to be careful who you're in the boat with. But he has not left us alone. Yeah. Be careful who's in the boat with you. Kind of like Peter, you get out of the boat and you start sinking. I ain't looking back at them guys. Them suckers are in the boat. I'm out on the water. You know how great that was? Peter was a fisherman. He spent his whole life around the water, in the water. He was walking on the water. Got his eyes off Jesus. Started looking at the storm. He is always with us, always a breath away. It said he would have passed them up, but they cried out, and he went to them. And I like it in John. John said, as soon as he got in the boat, we were at land. It was done. It was over with. Do you do that yourself? God, why am I here? You called me to this. Why don't they support me? Why don't I feel your presence? Why? What have I done? There's the old enemy talking. What did you do? Why have you forsaken me? I know you told me to do this. I believe the storms are allowed not only to rage on the outside, but sometimes we take that storm on the inside, don't we? It was in their minds. It had stirred them up. It had agitated them. It was rough waters. They couldn't think straight. Am I talking to anybody out here today? Anybody else been there? Can't get past what's going on? So what about this would cause us to be blind and have a hardened heart? It's doubt. It's fear. It's unbelief. Those are the great ingredients for a hardened heart. You forget everything that God has done for you. Every promise that he's ever made you and that's come true, and the ones that you're trying to strive for. Everything that you have witnessed in your life that God has done as a miraculous things. And you all have heard a lot of my testimonies. I have many things I could draw from at that time, but I'm usually too caught up with the storm. Many times we're doing what we're supposed to do. The storm arises, the darkness rolls in, it begins to rain. We hear the thunder, we see the lightning. All this is in the natural. It is very intimidating if you're on the water or on the land and watching this roll in. I had the privilege of being in Naples, Florida Wednesday before the storm came in. And it had already started rolling in Thursday night. I was on the beach and I could see it coming. Very ominous, dark, thick clouds. And over here was that beautiful sunset that I love to watch. But I could see it coming. That's another sermon right there, isn't it? But if we start to look at it and think that it's something out of the ordinary, it may be to us. But if we start saying, well, that's just the enemy coming. He's just coming because I'm doing God's will. I must be spot on. I must be X marks the spot because, man, I'm getting some terrible resistance. The enemy is, his dandruff is up, as they would say. He is not happy about it. We must be tearing down some strongholds. If we thought about the storm that way, would it be easier? I think if we kept our focus on the good stuff, as Philippians says, on the pure things, the things that are good and of good praiseworthy. You know, if we did those things, that's how you find peace in the storms, is you focus on the right things. You know, Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's how you have peace. Read that. You keep your mind focused on the right thing. And the God of peace is all around you. Tribulation is just pressure, affliction, anguish, trouble, persecution. It's got a broad definition. Did you really think that the enemy will let your life be easy once you chose a side? And not only chose, but you started doing the work? No, he's not going to. He has it in for you. Remember, he's the one going around like the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't have permission to do it. You've got to give it to him. You've got to allow him. That roar, you got to allow that roar, that thunder, to bring fear. fear opens the door. Are we any different in the storm arise? Did you notice Jesus in the contrary sea? I listened to a commentary this morning, I think it was, or I read it yesterday. He said he let them go. He knew it was there. He could see it happening from where he was. But he wanted to strengthen their faith. That's why he allows it. He wants you to see him, revelation of him in your storm. I'm walking on this storm. Do you see this? This has no authority over me, and why should it have authority over you? Do you see me? Why are you fearing? I love it. He said they would have passed by, but he came because they cried out. Sometimes you have to cry out. Sometimes you need that extra strength. This is how you draw on him. I love that part. He knew they were going to make it, but they lacked faith due to their blindness, which makes believing with a hard heart possible when you're blind. We see even the disciples of Jesus could have hard hearts. How about you? How about you? So how do we get rid of a hardened heart? We face adversity with God, not away from God. No, I'm going on a sabbatical. I need some time away. No. That's time for the enemy. You're opening the door. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." You have the Holy Spirit within you. He's taken out the stony heart. He's given you a heart that's sensitive to him, to his ways, to his touch. We allow this Spirit, the new Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us to guide us into all truth. That is the Word of God. And follow the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Do what he says to do and believe it. Have faith. And then live like we do. Don't speak it adversely. Talk in faith. Think in faith. This is a time of testing. But God knows you are capable, or he would not have allowed it. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, I want to just give you end in some encouraging words. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Notice it is a spirit. It is something we can run with. It's something we can fellowship with. It's something we can spend time with. But we have power, love, and a sound mind. Isaiah 43, there's a few verses through there I want to read. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am the Creator of Israel. I am the King, thus saith the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert." How can we go through a storm and allow fear to harden us, to make us blind and harden our hearts to who we serve and who we are? These are the promises. Romans 8 and 28, "And we know all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." All this is to make you into the image of God, to Jesus, to walk like him, talk like him, be like him. That's what we're called to be, disciples, right? "Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Romans 8 and 37, more than a conqueror. And you know my story. I love to say it. You're not only going to win the battle, but you're going to walk away with all the spoils. what the enemy took. Remember the blessing and the breaking? There was an overflow and multiplying. That's more than a conqueror. I have more than enough. So don't allow the hardened heart to be your fate. The storms are going to come, but they're okay. I've overcome this world. I've given you my peace. I've given you my power, my strength. Matthew 28, he says, I will not forsake you. I will stay with you until the end of the age. When it's all dead and said and done, he's still there. Father, we thank you for your wonderful understanding of what a hardened heart is and how we can be more sensitive to the tricks and ways of the enemy, the traps and the snares that he sets for us. I pray now, Father, according to the word of truth, that it won't come back void, that when the storm comes, that we will learn to focus on you. Put all our anxiety and fear in your hands, Lord. And trust that you will bring something good of everything we're walking through, everything that's raging in our lives. And we thank you, Father, because your love and your mercies are new each day. Strengthen us, keep us safe, and as your word says, you will make a path and a way when the floods come. In Jesus' name, amen.